Now you can subscribe to Bob Enyart's monthly Bible study DVDs. These verse-by-verse Bible study videos are great for family Bible study or even starting your own neighborhood Bible study. Each month, you get 4 or 5 Bible study sessions on 2 DVDs. You can subscribe by calling 1-800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today we are continuing yesterday's program, so I hope you enjoy this.
The principal difference between me and you is if you present something that shows that I'm wrong, I will concede and I will change it. You, however, are forbidden to do so.
No, that's...
because you adhere to a belief system.
No, you are wrong in that if I saw the evidence that I misunderstood the Bible, that I misunderstood science, and that evolution is true, I would accept evolution. On my homepage, I have something you don't have. I have an errata link, an error link, where we list, for 20 years, we've listed the biggest errors we make. And on each show summary, when we become aware of an error, we correct it, we fix it, and we document that it was wrong and we fixed it. You should go on your video.
You're never able to challenge the center paradigm.
I'm able to challenge special creation. God could have used evolution if he wanted to. I know that. I was a theistic evolutionist. The evidence from science convinced me that I was oversold on the evidence for the Big Bang and evolution. So you should go... you should go to your video and you should say that the discoverer of Rhodocetus and Pachycetus, that he's now recanted that it had fins like a whale and a fluke tail, and that this one lived in a marine environment. It was a land dweller that walked. You should say he recanted that, because your big quote is, if you can't prove it, you got to change it. That's your big quote. We could play it. Are you going to fix that?
If you can't prove it, you got to change it.
Well, let's hear it. It's clip number 8, I think.
But if you believe in truth at all, then you should make sure that the things you say actually are true, that they are defensibly accurate and academically correct. And if they're not correct, you should correct them. You wouldn't claim to know anything you couldn't prove that you knew.
So in your video, you show Rhodocetus and Pachycetus, when the one guy who discovered these both completely blew the reconstruction of the anatomy of the organism.
How was Pachycetus completely blown?
The discoverer said it was a marine animal that lived in the sea.
Is that how my video represents it?
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
No, the reason it's in your video is because the discoverer said he completely got the anatomy of the creature wrong. He thought it swam in the sea with fins and a tail. It turns out it walked on all fours.
Tail in my video?
No, it didn't.
No,
this is why Philip Gingrich constructed it that way, and he said it was an ancestor to a whale. Turns out he got it totally wrong. It was a land-dwelling organism with 4 legs like normal. And
but it shows in my video as a land-dwelling animal with 4 legs.
Because the only reason that Philip Gingrich put it in there is because he thought the anatomy was totally different. When he corrected his error, then the whole world of evolution scientists should have said, you know, this was made as a whale ancestor when we thought
it
was marine.
I've never seen Pachycetus as a whale. I've only ever seen it as a 4-legged land-dwelling
well,
animal.
Well, the discoverer reconstructed its body.
And are you suggesting that I change the way that
Let me tell you. Okay, I just found it more that Philip Gingrich, here's what he found. He found 2 pieces of a skull, 3 pieces. And it wasn't most of the skull. It was 3 pieces. So he reconstructed the skull. Then he continued to reconstruct the whole animal. And he said that this was an ancestor to the whale. That's how it got its place in the whale ancestry. That's why it's on your video. That's why he got famous. Then they found the rest, more bones, more of the skeleton. And it turns out that Pachycetus didn't live in the sea. It lived on land. But the reason you still have it in your video is because Gingrich drew it like a whale. That's why it's
but
in your video.
It doesn't show in my video like a whale.
I know. I'm saying the reason it's in your video. Isn't that amazing?
It's because the skull has the similarity showing a close relationship.
Isn't it amazing? How about the relationship between a bulldog and a chihuahua? You look at those two skulls, you find them as extinct animals, you're going to think they're on opposite ends of Darwin's tree of life.
And I show that in a video, too.
The skull that Gingrich reassembled, and then he made it look like a whale, because then you get famous and you get money.
Again, I've never seen it as a whale.
So you don't know.
I've only ever seen it
and what that
as
means,
a four-legged animal.
So, Aaron, that means you don't know why it's in your chart. And now that you do, you should reconsider.
It's in my chart accurately, and you keep telling me that I should change it.
Will you reconsider that maybe Pachycetus should no longer be there? Will you reconsider that now that you found out its origin?
For what reason?
Because, and by the way, the Journal of Geological Education, 1983, Philip Gingrich drew it as a fish. He drew it as a fish, and he said that it was an ancestor to a whale. The reason you have it in your chart is because Gingrich said it was the ancestor to a whale when he thought it was a fish. So you should, for intellectual honesty, you should say, you know what, I'm going to reevaluate.
We're going to confuse a mammalian skull with a fish.
Hey, that's his problem. It's not my problem.
Okay. In a similar argument with another creationist.
And there was only three pieces, by the way. There was only three pieces, and they were small.
In a similar argument with another creationist.
Yeah.
Pachycetus was cast as both a wolf and a cow.
That's irrelevant to my whole point of the admission of the discoverer that he totally blew it.
Okay, well, let me go over one other thing here. I mean, you're talking about how you will make a change, and I said, but you won't actually concede the primary point. And that is, you know, every creationist organization, I think all of them, have a doctrinal obligation that they adhere to.
Yes.
Wherein they proudly post that they will not change their mind even if they're proven wrong.
I've never seen that quote.
Okay.
I know that you, on your video, you make some effort to provide a quote. Unlike in your first video, where you make no effort to provide any quote.
In the first video, it was an introduction. I show some statistics and just that, and then I go into the data thereafter.
Yeah, I know. You make an effort, so that's at least an effort. You do provide a quote for that, but you took that quote out of context. You did not...
Wait, what quote out of context?
The quote that was on the screen and the words you said as you're reading it so fast like you do that people don't have time to read, you said it was different than what the guy actually said.
What are you talking about?
The exact example you're talking about.
What did I say, and what did the actual quote say?
What he did not say
was... I don't
was,
misrepresent things the way you did.
What he did not say was, even if I'm proven wrong, I'm still going to believe this. He didn't say that. Your voiceover to his quote said that. He didn't say it. That was your interpretation of what he said. If I'm proven wrong...
If you give me an exact quote, I can defend it.
It's your quote. You showed the video and you did the voiceover.
And you got practically everything I said wrong so far.
All right. All right. Then what's your point of bringing up the whole story?
You want specific quotes? Okay. Here's one I debated. There was a guy named Mark Ramsey. He runs a place called Greater Houston Creation Association.
All right.
They have a post on their website that goes on about how the Bible is the divinely inspired word, completely free of error, absolute authority. The final guide of interpretation of the Bible is the Bible itself, and God's word must agree with God's world.
Right.
Actually, they've got word and world backward there, but, you know, and because the Creator is one, you know, so it's an assumed conclusion, wherein, they continue, the physical evidence from the creation may be used to confirm the Bible, but these evidences must never be used to correct or interpret the Bible. It's a confirmational bias. It is an admission.
You have the
that
exact.
They are not going to change their mind.
You have the identical commitment. And let me describe it. Let me describe it. Whatever the genetic evidence shows, it will only confirm evolution, a Darwinian pathway. Whatever it shows, it will only confirm Darwin. Is it possible?
Where I have already expressed the corrections there, I can prove that that's not the case.
No, no,
but
you
here,
say
here
no.
In the doctrinal obligation, the written word must take priority in the event of any apparent conflict.
You say the same.
And can never be used.
You say the same thing. Just
I do not
just
ever
change
say
instead
anything
of
similar to
instead
that.
Of the written word. All right, instead of the written word.
I don't ever say
just
anything
just,
like that.
Just insert instead of the written word. Insert dissent with modification.
I do not
right? And you
ever express a dogmatic belief like you do.
Well, is it possible?
I deny that in every video I've ever made.
All right, so then is it possible that as we study genomes with the information content of genomes, is it possible that science could come to a forensic conclusion that that information content could not have arisen naturally? Is that possible? And if it's possible, is science allowed to investigate
that? I want to say it's possible.
That?
I don't know how that could be.
It could be investigated the way we do forensic science when we make an effort to see if there was an intellect.
But the way that you're framing the question is such that it doesn't make sense.
No, all right. Let me restate it. In forensic science, we try to determine if there's an intellect-driven causality. If there was information that was operated on by an intellect that brought about a certain physical reality. And so that's forensic science. You didn't want me to say
again,
natural
to
versus
assert,
intelligence.
You have to make a distinction whether something was naturally designed
or
whether it was artificially designed.
Yeah.
And then whether it was supernaturally designed gets even worse.
All right, fine. So let's
because
only
you,
talk
you know,
about.
The problem is.
So let's only talk about
ask,
intellect.
The problem is that you want me to ask a question where it implies the supernatural,
no.
And by definition,
right.
It can't.
Let's only talk about intellect.
Once again,
intellect.
Science,
just intellect.
Methodological naturalism. Every time we've ever suggested a supernatural explanation to any phenomenon, ever, it's always been wrong.
Let me
think of an exception.
Let's just discuss intellect.
Is there an exception?
Is you don't allow a priori, you do not allow science to investigate whether intellect may have been behind the writing of the genome, the information content of
that.
The genome. Well, then
I allow that's
against methodological naturalism.
I do allow on many levels.
I'm thrilled,
you just have to indicate it.
I'm thrilled that you do, but that means that you disagree with methodological naturalism because that does not allow.
It's possible for methodological naturalism to allow for that.
Well, then intelligent design shouldn't
magic.
Then ID shouldn't be anathema because ID is saying that there is evidence that intellect
there
was
is
used,
a definition for intelligent design just as there is a definition for general creationism. And remember, Kenneth Miller, for example, believes in an intelligent designer, and he believes in a creator God.
I know
specifically,
that.
Right?
I know.
But
what's
he does
sense
not
of
fit. He does not fit, as we've discussed before, the definition of a creationist because he does not deny methodological naturalism in favor of a belief in magic.
I know you repeat some of these things we agree on a lot, Aaron. I don't understand why you do.
Well, then why do I have to repeat them? Why do you keep going on?
Here's the point. You've come very close to. You have said that it's valid for science to investigate whether or not there was intellect involved in the origin of genetic information.
If you can indicate that, then it becomes a realm of science.
Absolutely. That's right. And information science is a realm of science, just like mathematics. Well,
how would you indicate that?
Well, if you read, I suggest you read a recent book, Intelligent Design Uncensored. They have a scientific test for determining whether there was intelligence involved in the formation of information, and they use a mathematical threshold of the of the probability of less than 10 with 150 zeros. They say if there is something that has the probability of less than 10 with 150 zeros, that passes our threshold for our scientific investigation that it did not come about by random chance.
Again, random chance is a misnomer, too.
No, I know, for natural selection, but that's when you have reproducing organisms. They're talking
again,
about the origin of life.
You're talking about an intelligence that you have to assume because it is not indicated. The trick
well,
is
that's
to indicate it.
Forensic scientists do the same thing. We don't know if there's
wait,
a murderer.
Wait. Now, I asked
we
you
don't know.
Before, what was, if you had one thing that you could say, there's one bit of positively indicative evidence of supernatural creation over biological evolution.
Yes.
And you mentioned the first and second law of thermodynamics.
Well, no, that was
why
the first part.
That?
No, then you then I said my second argument is information.
Right.
Information.
But the first one, the first one I'm talking about right now was because if science can't answer a question, then you get to throw up your hands and say it was magic.
Well, no. No, I completely agree with you that that would be invalid.
Well, then, how
Isn't
do you
it,
indicate
wouldn't it? Be
it?
Stupid
you need to
for
have
me?
A positive indication. Your first and second law of thermodynamics being
Aaron,
we don't know the answer certainly does not imply that it was anything remotely similar to a genie using magic spells. Can we agree on that?
I'm agreeing with your criticism of that kind of reasoning. If anybody said...
So then your first and second law of thermodynamics is not
you don't understand
of a divine designer, right?
No, now you don't understand the argument. I am not saying because we don't know, God did it. I mean, the price of bacon at
then
King Soopers today.
And second, well, how does the first and second law of thermodynamics become evidence for a God?
Let me make this analogy. The price of bacon at the grocery store today, I don't know how it got set. That doesn't mean I'm asserting that God set it. Okay? Creationists know just because science cannot answer a question doesn't mean God did it. That's not our argument. Our
then
argument
answer
is
my question. How is that evidence?
Okay.
I asked you for verifiably accurate, positively indicative evidence of a special creation over biological evolution.
Right.
Whenever I talk about evolution, you tell me to shut up.
No.
You tell me you don't want to talk about whether emus are birds, which they obviously are, and you're afraid to admit to for some reason.
I did. After stonewalling for 5 minutes, I admitted it. Okay. Here's the answer to your question. Science can not only prove that something is possible, it can also prove that something is not possible. It can do that. Science does both things. That's how science progresses. Otherwise, we think that fossils just form magically overnight in the strata record. They don't mean anything. Science is showing us that the fossils have been there for some length of time, and we have some idea of how they were formed. So science not only tells us what is possible, it tells us what is impossible. It's impossible for the whole universe to be spinning around the Earth once every 24 hours. It's impossible. So my assertion, I could be wrong, but my assertion is the laws of physics confirm that the universe could not make itself from nothing. Now, you went on about other dimensions and all,
and remember,
and positing
I was
whatever.
I was asking for positively
this,
indicative
this
evidence
is,
of a supernatural creation
this is,
over biological
this
evolution,
is.
And you started talking
let me
about
finish,
cosmology,
let
and
me,
the assumption again
yeah.
was that if the universe can't be created by any natural means we know of so far, then you can reject biodiversity, which is wholly unrelated and doesn't matter how the universe came to be.
Well, no, it does matter because if the laws of physics show us that the universe cannot be explained by natural causes, if they did that, then that tells us there was a supernatural cause.
Okay,
so then our further scientific investigation will include then the possibility of a supernatural cause of life and other things of our consciousness.
What if they discover something in their studies of black holes and such, how matter can move in and out of the universe itself?
Well,
thus making it natural.
All right.
And then showing how floods of small generations of universes could occur, like they're trying to do at CERN.
Okay.
What if that were to happen? I mean,
well,
so you've got an option. You've got
that's
several
a valid,
options,
that,
actually.
That's a valid proposition. My point is that you have to hope that the first and second laws would not hold, and that somehow...
Why would I have to hope? I don't care. I'm not a cosmologist.
All right, Stephen
Hawking...
I study
Hawking, biodiversity.
Stephen Hawking...
Evolution does not care how the universe came
about.
If
Stephen Hawking is wrong, And if there can be no natural explanation for the origin of the universe, that means that there is a supernatural cause for the universe. If that's true.
It depends on how you define supernatural.
No, it doesn't.
Here's another problem.
Wait.
We're arguing over the nth degree to try to justify something we know can't have happened. The flood, for example, the Tower of Babel. We know these are not false.
We
know that there's no
Do you think when you say
that
means it's true? There was a global flood, and languages did get diversified in the recent past. And I've got plenty of evidence from Noam Chomsky and Edward Sapir and many others.
The languages were already well-diversified long before Hammurabi started the Marduk-Zitterok.
These world-renowned linguists...
We know that it didn't happen from the Tower of Babel.
These world-renowned linguists have disproved Darwin's assertions, first, that there's such a thing as primitive languages. They've utterly exploded that myth. Secondly, that human language is a more advanced form of animal grunts and barks and all. They've utterly exploded that myth.
Until we can show the data, we're just two guys talking here, and this has been almost 2 hours.
All right.
That I haven't even been able to get you to address my challenge, and now I'm out of time.
All right. You know what, Aaron? I really appreciate the time you gave me, because even though I could be a pain in the neck and I get very animated and excited, I've received some value in our discussion.
Okay, and I would like to leave you with two thoughts.
Yes.
Just one, really. I'll just leave it at the one. I said, and I often quote these, where I've happened across them on their own websites. The Institute for Creation Research has a doctrinal obligation where they refuse to admit any error.
Yeah.
And so does Answers in Genesis.
Yeah. I agree that the Bible is inerrant in its original autographs, which
okay,
is the
yeah,
standard.
Exactly. Bob Jones University also says, if it's in the Bible, it's already true without requiring any additional proof, and anything that contradicts God's revealed word, no matter how scientific, how commonly believed, or how apparently workable or logical it may seem, it is a fallacy if it contradicts the Bible.
That sounds like Aaron Ra to me. Just insert dissent with modification.
Except that
you
I never do that. You can't quote me
well,
doing
is it
that.
Possible
it's never happened.
Well, then is it possible?
It will never happen
well, then,
because I'm an honest man,
all right,
and
well,
these are not honest
well,
declarations
well, then, Aaron,
that the creationists are making.
Then is it possible that this army of genetic scientists might be wrong, that Darwin's tree of life for animals, plants,
was uprooted for the reasons that I pointed out for the horizontal gene transfer and so on.
Has been chopped down, is in tatters.
Uprooted, is still holding together in the upper branches, but not in a trunk or root.
Forget the branches.
And I explained that in the 10th foundational falsehood of creation.
They said already it's believed that as much as 50% of the human genome cannot be accounted for in a vertical descent from a tree of life.
Then present 50%. That in writing for analysis for
public review.
It's
already, the peer-reviewed journalists have all done it. It's there. I'm quoting that.
For your and my conversation, because I like to make a point.
Yeah.
I like to correct myself when I'm wrong, when that ever happens. However, in conversations like what you and I are having now,
yeah,
when we actually get to look at the data, invariably, so far in my life, I have only been corrected by a creationist twice, ever, on anything.
All right, how about Rhodocetus and Pachycetus? Will you look at those?
Which are rendered as four-legged.
I'm not talking about how you rendered them. I'm talking about the reason.
I didn't render them.
The reason for them being in your chart.
The reason for them being
is
there
the
is because of their skull shape.
Is because he had three little pieces of a skull. He thought it was a marine-dwelling creature. It turns out it's got four legs.
It turned
legs.
Out to have four legs,
lives
which
on
makes
land.
It transitional. For what reason?
Of course it did. Of course.
For what
every
reason?
Four-legged creature turned into a whale.
For what reason?
Isn't
because
it amazing? What a coincidence.
How about Sirenians? We have a complete sequence for them.
Every sequence, it is arbitrary. Aaron Ra, your claims about anatomy are arbitrary. There are creatures.
I can show that my claims about anatomy are not.
How,
arbitrary,
all right,
but
how,
are
how about this?
Objectively verifiable, and as I told you, I have run out of time.
Well, fingerprints. Are we like koalas, or are we like an octopus? Because our eye is so similar to an octopus.
Eye is not similar to an octopus.
An octopus
eye
is
ape
so
eyes,
similar.
And our fingerprints are ape fingerprints. Why? Why is that? Because we're apes.
And we
and birds are the octopus dinosaurs.
Eye,
they're not like dinosaurs.
The octopus
they
eye
dinosaurs.
Is extraordinarily similar to the human eye. So
they
we should
do
say
have similarities,
we're close
but that
to
does
koalas.
Not mean that we have an octopus eye. We have our retina on the wrong side to be an octopus eye, for example.
The retina is on the exact right side because an octopus lives under the
octopus
water.
Octopus doesn't have the blind spot that we do.
An octopus lives under the water, so he doesn't have momentary glances of the sun that kill millions of cells in your eye. So the octopus eye is set the way it is because it works for him. If our eye was that way, when somebody takes a flash photo, in the flash you go blind for 2 seconds.
The cephalopod's eye is different than a simian eye.
The reason you go blind for 2 seconds is because your body is restoring millions of cells. And if our eye was like an octopus eye, and if the retina wasn't backwards, we'd go blind for an hour when we looked at the sun. So the eye is perfectly designed for humans living on Earth. Perfectly.
Yes, evolution designed our eye perfectly for humans to a degree. You can't actually achieve perfection without a designer, and we don't have perfection because we evidently don't have a designer. But the really frustrating thing about having these conversations with you is I can't be systematic. I can't get you to adhere to a point where we can agree on anything. It's just talking past each other.
I've agreed with many things you've said.
If we do this in writing, I can be more systematic. But if you avoid all my questions, as so many creationists do, then I can't make any progress. You want to throw out claims of things I haven't seen or misrepresent papers I have seen, I don't know what I can do with that in a live conversation.
Great points. If you would like to do a 5 or 10 round written debate with questions and answers numbered, I'd be happy to do that if you consider it.
I would certainly consider that.
All right.
I want a forum where it's public archives.
All right.
Where
League
we have where we can list any links necessary.
Yeah, I think
so
we should
can
limit
all
to,
the data we can.
I think
and,
we should limit to maybe 5,000 words or so in a post, maybe 3,000.
We don't have to get ridiculous like that.
All right.
I just need to ask a few simple questions each round and
Great.
Have you actually answer
Great.
Them.
And if you want to do it on League of Reason or Theology Online,
I'd love to do it on League of Reason because I know that they're not going to get deleted there.
That sounds great. We started TOL, Theology Online. It's had thousands of members, millions of posts. We don't delete atheist and evolutionist posts. But League of Reason would be great. Would you want to start it this year or the first week in January? When would you want to do it?
Time is always an issue. And I'm sorry to have to say that, but time is always an issue.
I understand.
So January at some point, yes.
All right. Well, I would be honored. So thank you, Aaron Ra. And please, I'm sorry I get animated. My wife has to deal with that. Pray for her. Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.
Appreciate
Bye-bye.
It. So that was my interview with Aaron Ra, the wildly popular internet atheist with his own YouTube channel. You can listen to all segments online at realsciencefriday.com. If you click on our store, you will see debates with atheists, with physicists on the age of the earth, on atheism, on Darwinism, really neat things, and also great DVDs and beautiful books on science and creation and evolution. So check that out at realsciencefriday.com or call us. Our number is 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. May God bless you. This is Bob Inyart inviting you to read our manuscript, The Plot, for an overview of the whole Bible. Call us at 800-836-9278. That's 836-9278.